In his presence is fullness of joy. In his presence, there's no darkness, only light. There's no sickness in his presence. There's no poverty. There's no lack. There's nothing that's too big in his presence. Amen. That's why it's so important to gather together as believers, because there is something that happens when we come together. He promises he'll be here. Amen. He promises he'll be here. And you come and you be reminded of all that he's done so that you're not alone. Amen. Amen. Just an amazing presence today. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up to 1 Kings 17, and we're continuing on with the overflow message. And I believe this is, when the Lord showed me this, it was like, whoa, this is amazing, Father, the overflow life. When we live the overflow life and we're following the Lord, obedient and willing, it makes sure that we're in the right place at the right time. And how many people know it's really important to be right where God wants you to be, especially in these last days? One of the pastors on EMIC that they had, a guest speaker, was talking about how that before she had met her husband, that he had made the choice to go to Kenneth Copeland Conference, and to do that, he had to sell his house because he didn't have the finances. But his house sold in one day. One day. And he was able to go, and that going to that conference, he got filled with the Holy Spirit and anointed to heal. It completely changed his life. But she was talking about why it's so important when God tells you to do something that you do it, because it can change your life. But not only was his life changed, all the people that he prayed for. He got slain in the spirit, got up, and a lady that had gotten slain with him had cancer. He laid hands on her. He did, not the speaker. He laid hands on her, and she was immediately healed. Immediately. They all watched it happen. I mean, talk about why we need to be obedient and willing. Because it's more than just us, right? We get the blessing of the Lord, but there are others that God wants to touch and to reach through our lives. Amen? That's just a side note. That's not really what we're going to talk about today. But it is important to be obedient and willing. So we're going to look at 1 Kings, excuse me. And this is the story of Elijah when he goes and the Lord tells him to go to the brook Cherith, and he's supposed to stay there. And then the brook dries up and he says, now I want you to go to Zarephath in Sidon, and there will be a widow who will provide for you. Okay, let's just think about that for a second. There's a widow there that's going to provide for you. What was going on at this point? There had been no rain. Elijah had told King Ahab, who was an evil king, it is not going to rain again until I say so. And I'll say so when the Lord tells me so. And yet the Lord is sending him to a widow in the middle of a drought to take care of him. Never underestimate where you are in your life. Amen. Never underestimate where you are in your life. God sends him to a widow. So he says in verse 10 that he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of a city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. He called to her and he said, please bring me a little cup of water that I may drink. Verse 11, and as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, bring me a morsel of bread in your hand. So she said, as the Lord your God lives. Now, whose God did she say? As the Lord your God lives. So we see in this one line, the Lord hadn't been made Lord of her life yet. Amen? She recognized he was a prophet, and she says, the Lord your God lives. I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin and a little oil in a jar. And see, I'm gathering a couple sticks that I may go and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. So did she have a lot of flour? Anybody? Did she have a lot of flour at home? No. Did she have a lot of oil at home? No. Just enough to make her a little meal for her and her son. That was it. Okay? Important to remember that. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make me a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for your son and yourself. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, in verse 14, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. Now she had a choice to make here. Did she have to go and do what Elijah said? No, she did not. It was a choice that she got to make, but she was obedient and willing. And it says that she went home and she made some for the prophet, and it happened, let's see. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. Now we look at that and we go, many days. But what did Elijah tell her? He said, your flour and your oil will not run out until what? Until it rains again. Now, so often we just read through scriptures and we don't think about this. Well, I'm going to help you think a little bit this morning. Because I asked the question to myself, well, how long was that? Well, from the time that he told King Ahab, it tells us in James 5, from the time he told King Ahab there would be no rain until he said it again, it was 3.5 years. 3.5 years. We know that he spent time at the brook Cherith. So let's just say he was there 6 months, even a year. And then he comes to Zarephath, to the widow, and her oil and her flour are tiny, right? And yet it fed her and the prophet and her household. Now, first it was just her son, right? But it's not uncommon in those days for widows especially to live in a household that included parents, maybe grandparents, could have been relatives. There was more of a communal living, right? It fed all of them. Let's just give it, well, even 2.5 years, right? 2.5 years. Now, somebody stop and think about this for a minute. 2.5 years, that oil never ran dry, and the flour was always there for 2.5 years. I don't know about anybody else, but when I started thinking about that, it kind of rocked my world. When you think about the fact that if you go home today and you look at your oil, and if it's like this, imagine to yourself that never went away for 2.5 years. That is miraculous, right? That is supernatural. So when you are obedient, it produces miracles in your life. God didn't just take care of her and her son. He took care of her and her son, the prophet, and her household. It was more than just this little tiny bubble. The bubble went out, and he provided for everyone. I'm just saying 2.5 years. It could have been that he was there at the brook Cherith for 6 months or 3 months. Whatever it was, the fact that this bottle of oil, even if it was 6 months, that this bottle of oil and this flour didn't run out, that is miraculous. Anybody else agree with that? Amen. But this is another reason why it's so important to be obedient and willing. You have no idea what tomorrow holds. None. None. This widow had no idea what her future held. But she was obedient and willing. And because of her obedience and her willingness, the prophet stayed with her. The presence of the Lord stayed with her. Why is that important? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 17, now it happened after these things that the son of the woman who owned the house became sick. And his sickness was so serious that there left no breath in him, or he died. So she goes to Elijah. Elijah comes, says, give me your son. He takes him up to an upper room after praying for him and doing what the Lord told him to do. The son comes back to life. And in verse 22, it says, then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of a child came back, and he revived him. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room into the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son lives. In verse 24, then the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth and it is the truth. What if she hadn't obeyed? God would have provided for that man of God. He would have provided for Elijah another way. He would not have been there when her son got sick. He would not have been there to pray over him and restore life to him. Is anybody seeing why it's so important to be obedient and willing when the Lord asks of something? Because we don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know this. I know this. If you're obedient and willing, the presence of the Lord stays with you. It stays in your life so that when things try to rise up against you and your children or your finances or your family or your situation, the presence of God is there to change it. Somebody say amen this morning. This is a powerful life lesson if we will grab hold of it. That was another thing that the lady was preaching this morning said. She said, you know what? We can preach good sermons to you guys, but if you don't respond and take hold of it, it's just going right out into the air. We have to respond when God says something to us. We have to grab it. And today he's saying, be willing and obedient because you don't know what tomorrow holds. And you need to be in the right place at the right time, doing what I've called you to do, because in these last days, you need God to be with you. Because he will change the circumstances around you. He will protect your children, even if it means bringing them back from the dead. Amen? And maybe that even means spiritually. Maybe your kids are spiritually dead. Guess what? This woman acted in obedience and was willing, and when the problem came up, she went back to the source and said, listen, I have provided for you. I was obedient for you. What are you going to do about my son? She went back to the source. When things rise up in your life against your children or you or your health, we need to start being bold and saying, absolutely not. The presence of God is in my life. I've been obedient and willing, and that blessing is going to be on me and my house. We have got to get to this point that we see that our obedience produces miracles. Let me tell you today, death can look impossible to turn around. This lady's son was dead. He wasn't at the last stages of life. He was dead. It may look like your circumstance is dead. It may look like your kids are so far gone, how in the world will they ever get back? It may look like it's an impossible thing that you're facing. It may look like your finances are overwhelming. It may look like in the natural. But in the supernatural realm, God is able to take your little oil and your little flour and make it last as long as you need it to provide for you, your family, and your household. Blessed to be a blessing. And then he's able to take those circumstances that look impossible and be like Luke, where it says in Luke, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? Obedient and willing. That's our part. Obedient and willing. That's what we have to ask today. Lord, am I being obedient to what you've called me to do? If you're not, change it. If the Lord has put on your heart to do something and you haven't done it, start doing it. Whatever it is that he's asked. It may be just this tiny change, but that tiny change will set you back on course with what God wants to do in your life and put you right where you need to be. In these last days, we should not be going to the left or the right. We should be staying right on track with him. Don't deviate even a little. Don't play with the world even a little. Stay right on track and be obedient. And then, like this woman, we'll be taken care of. And even attacks against our children, they're not going to prosper. Amen? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much today for this word, a powerful, powerful word, God, of how you supernaturally provided for this woman and her family for however long, but we know it was 3.5 years before rain came. And then, Father, I know your faithfulness, that the crops, it took time for those crops to come, and I believe you continued to provide for her until the harvest came in, until she got the fresh stuff. God, you continued to be there for her because of her obedience and her willingness. And Father, I just thank you so much that you don't just stop, Father, with just meeting our need. You do the supernatural in our lives. Thank you, Jesus, for the supernatural blessing on our children, on our finances, on our health. Father, I just praise you for that blessing, for those miracles that you continue to do. And Father, I pray today that we grab hold of this. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. If there's something that we're doing that's outside of what you want us to be doing, you'd help us to get back. Or maybe there's things that you've told us to do and we're still here and we need to get out. Help us to step out. Whatever we need to be doing, help us to do that. So Father, in these last days, we can know that we will be provided for and everything we have is blessed and protected because of your promise, Father. We thank you for blessing every seed that's sown today. As we act in obedience, Father, to bring our tithes and our offerings to you, we thank you, Father, that that act of obedience is producing miracles in our lives today. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit would say to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory for all the marvelous, wonderful things you're doing in our lives, in our church, in our nation. We praise you for it all. Somebody say, I'll take it all. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're continuing on our message titled God's Healing Flow. And I've been kind of describing this as, you know, sort of an in-service on healing. Amen. And the Lord kind of stirred us up to do this several weeks ago. Got a couple more Sundays. Amen. But somebody say, God's will is to heal. Amen. God's will is to heal. He's the healer, right? And so we've been focusing on this and being in God's healing flow, being in the river of God's healing flow, of his anointing. Amen. And just get used to talking to stuff. You know, you're in one of those churches that teaches you to talk to things, like COVID or disease or whatever. Just spend some time every day talking to it. Tell it what God says. Oh no, you won't touch my body, COVID or disease or whatever it is. I resist you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed from you. You have no place in my life in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? These are good things to be in the habit of doing. But you know, I've been sharing video clips pretty much every week, and a few weeks ago we looked at something from Catherine Kuhlman, and one of the ministries that she inspired was Billy Burke. So I want to show you this video clip from Billy Burke Ministries as we get started here. They have something they do at Eagle Mountain a couple times a year called Miracles on the Mountain.
One more thing before we do that.
Where's your wife at? Where'd she go?
We went that way. I don't know where she went.
Where's his wife at? Where?
I think she went to the ladies' room.
Oh my, she's way in the back.
I think she went to the ladies' room.
Oh. Look at that crowd back there in the left corner.
Oh, it's back there.
Which one is you? Wave at me, the wife. How's your legs? What's that? Let her talk. I'm sorry? You what? You better give her a big God bless you, I'll tell you that. Holy, holy. Get ready to worship here. You're running all over the place here.
Yes. I could not raise my knees up like you say, my meniscus.
You couldn't do that before. And now look at this.
Praise God.
Yes.
Praise God.
Yes. Yeah. They're burning some, but...
And they're burning.
I could not... Most people see me hobbling around.
Yeah.
And That's a miracle.
That's a miracle. Look out there and tell them. Tell them it's a miracle. Tell them.
It's a miracle. I could not bring my knees up like this without almost falling.
We get lost in all of this. We get caught up in
the
moment.
It's a miracle.
Listen to me. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Yes. Come on, put your hands up and say, Jesus is here.
Jesus is here.
Come on, say, by his work on the cross.
By his work on the cross.
His finished work.
His finished work.
The blood.
The blood.
The scourging.
Scourging.
The stripes.
The stripes.
The death and resurrection.
Death and resurrection.
He's doing it all. Come on, somebody. That's amazing.
Who I was going to tell you was that last time.
Look what happened because you brought your wife up here.
Yes, praise God. I'm very grateful for that.
Yes.
And praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
But I wanted to tell you the last time you and I had a conversation about 2 years ago.
Okay.
I weighed 100 pounds more than I do now.
Oh, my.
Yeah. At that time, I had heart problems and I also a pacemaker, and
you
prophesied the pacemaker would be removed. I'm still standing on that.
Okay.
But the heart is much stronger.
Okay.
And you said to do the testimony, to give credit. So
that's right.
So that's what I'm doing. That's the only reason I'm stopping you to tell you that. So.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so yes. I'm very grateful for the progress
you're,
I made.
You're a good man.
Well, thank you, sir.
You're a very good man. And this puts us against your chest. And, Master, we thank you for the removal of this hernia. Lord, by the time he goes home tonight, let it begin to disappear. Let it begin to disappear by the Holy Ghost. Somebody give God a big, big shout. Come on. Give God a big, big shout. Come on. Give God a big, big shout. Yes! Come on, right here. What happened here? What happened here? Quickly. What happened?
She fell out of a zip line a couple weeks ago.
And she fell where?
Out of a zip line on a tree. And she fractured three vertebrae.
She fell off of a zip line. That's when you hook up to a line and zip, right?
Yeah.
Praise God. Amen. We could just go and go and go, but there is literally hours and hours of that type of thing online. If you just search out Miracles on the Mountain, Billy Burke, it's just one more place to plug in and get somebody say, get in the flow. Amen. But I love that, man. God is in the healing business. Amen. And we've got human bodies that, you know, have frailties and these kind of things. But somebody say, wherever I am now, God can bump me up a notch in my health, right? Well, he is so good. Amen. I'm going to turn this guy off here. But as we get started into this today, I wanted to begin, you know, we always start with our confession of living in divine health. And this has just been so enjoyable, amen. And it's just being in God's healing flow. I mean, there's no other place to live, right? Just constantly be in it. Just be bathed in God's healing presence 24/7, amen. But I wanted to, you know, just kind of in light of a lot of the things that are happening in our nation right now and a lot of the voices we're hearing out there in the world, last week's confession of faith, this jumped out at me as almost prophetic for what we've been hearing from out of our nation. So I want to start with reading and leading you through last week's confession of faith, living in divine health. So say this after me. I have supernatural knowledge about how to take care of my body. I am led by the Spirit of God about how to approach my whole life health. I do not let the world dictate how I take care of my body, but seek the Lord in making decisions. We read that last week, and all this fresh wave of here's what you all need to do, or you can't go shopping, you can't go to school, you can't go to NFL games, you can't, you're the ones that are the root of the problem if you don't do what we tell you to do. We read that confession of faith last week. To me, that's a confirmation, church, that Jesus is reminding his people, be led by the Holy Ghost. Amen? In whatever it is you do, you know, with the vaccination, for example, if God leads you to get that, then get it. If he leads you to not get it, hey, don't get it. Amen? Praise God. There's a lot of different ways God can lead his people into health and keep us healthy, right? And whatever we do, if you do choose to receive a vaccination or receive, you know, prescription drugs for things, take it in faith. Amen? Don't be in fear on it. Don't be in fear on it. Praise the Lord. And don't let the world intimidate you to do what they say or else. That's one of the words that came out this week I heard was, our patience is wearing thin. It's all your fault. This thing is getting worse. It's all your fault. Don't look over. We're not talking about Afghanistan. We're looking at this. Just bizarre stuff, church. Amen. But just those words, just those words. I do not let the world dictate how I take care of my body. I hear that even from Jesus' voice right now. Because somebody say, we are the body of Christ. So I hear Jesus saying this. I don't let the world dictate to me how I take care of my body. Somebody say, glory to God. Now that ought to make somebody excited this morning. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we are led by the Holy Spirit. We are led by the Holy Spirit in making decisions, every decision. Somebody say, every decision. Be led by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Praise God forevermore. Well, today's confession for living in divine health is out of Psalm 91:16. I'm going to read that to you as we get going. Hallelujah. Psalm 91, verse 16 says this, with long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Hallelujah. And then Deuteronomy 34:7 is the other one. You're welcome to turn there if you want to, but it's most of it's in your notes. Those specific ones are not today. But Psalm 34, verse 7 says this, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, nor his natural vigor diminished. Praise the Lord. Amen. So here's our confession for living in divine health today. Let's say this together. Just repeat it after me. God has said to me, go ahead and say it out loud. It's really important. I know we got masks on and stuff, but it's really important to say these things, all right? So say this, God has said to me that with long life, he will satisfy me. So I declare now, in the name of Jesus, that I will live long and strong on the earth. Like Moses, my eyesight will not grow dim. Like the Israelites, I will not be feeble. I will increase in strength and memory, not decrease. I do not receive the world's views about aging. I'm getting stronger and healthier every day. Somebody say every day. I was at a funeral. Actually, I participated in the funeral a few years back, and the officiating minister compared death to an eviction where your body no longer can tolerate you. It is too sick. You get kicked out of your body, right? Well, we just need to get a little bit of an attitude as believers that, you know what, body, you are not going to dictate to me when I leave. I will be a part of that decision. Amen? I'm not going to allow my body or the limitations of the flesh or the limitations of the world dictate to me when it's time for me to go home to be with Jesus. Amen? And that goes against a lot of religious thinking, because a lot of religious thinking just think God has the book and it's like a timer, right? A sand timer. And every one of us, God has that exact date, that exact time, and you're out of here. And it's totally up to him. That is not true. That is not true. Amen? It could be up to me and McDonald's. It could be up to me and the donut shop, right? It could be up to me and lack of participation on the treadmill. It could be up to me and just doing some dumb thing Well, God will protect me. I'm going to go bungee jump today because I'm a person of faith. They haven't tested it. It's not really, you know. But hey, I'm a faith person. It might be up to, you hear what I'm saying, right? We have a part to play in how long and how strong we go. Amen? So let's just make up our minds that we are pressing. We're in this thing for the long haul. Now, when it's time to go, it's okay to go, man. I mean, like Keith Moore said, let's blow this popsicle stand and get on to something better in heaven, right? Anybody know anyone that's in heaven now, right? And praise God, there's a great reunion coming. And you know, we mentioned a little bit as we got started today that this is on the Jewish calendar, which God's calendar, really. This week is a very holy week, right? Because there was Rosh Hashanah last week, which is Feast of Trumpets, which is a symbol, a reminder of God's new year. It symbolizes everything from when the world was created to when Moses got the Ten Commandments to when Jesus was born. To many ministers believe it's the time Jesus will return. Somebody say, wow, man. But Feast of Trumpets reminds us of the rapture is coming. Right? And Yom Kippur, which is this week, is the day of the Lord. It is a symbol of the second coming of the Lord. And those are two distinct events. A lot of people teach and believe that's the same event. Well, it's not the same event. And those two feasts are great examples of them being separate events. The second coming is when all the nations of the world gather to attack Israel. Right? And we're with Jesus in heaven. We've been raptured. And it says the day of the Lord, man. And we all come down and take over, man, with Jesus and rule and reign on this planet for 1,000 years. It's a marvelous thing to think about. So let's believe God, church, that we're living to the rapture. Amen? Because the rapture, we all go at the same time. No funerals, no like that, right? But if someone does check out and go on home to be with Jesus, we'll miss them. But we don't sorrow, the Bible says, as those who have no hope. Have you ever been to a funeral where it sounded like it was just hopeless? I remember years ago when I was on staff at New Beginnings that one of the ladies at our church asked me to do a funeral for her son who had OD'd and died. And it was in this really, they had it in this really weird church. Like Scientology stuff everywhere, and you could feel, you could almost smell the darkness, if that makes any sense to you. All these kids out there that were just whacked out of their minds, and just, you know, it was almost intimidating to get up and speak to that kind of a wall of hopelessness. But Jesus had something to share, and he did. Amen. And praise God, right? But when someone that we know and love goes home to be with Jesus, we don't sorrow and grief like the world does. We're going to miss them, but we're going to see them again. We know that. The Bible tells us this. Amen? But while we're here, somebody say, while we're here, let's believe God for a healthy body. Amen? Let's believe God to keep us well, to help us, to have wisdom, and just have the faith, really, to receive health from God. Amen? And I wanted to read to you a couple of things out of a letter from Pastor George Pearson's. And it's called, he titled it, Our Healing is an Accomplished Fact. Pastor George from Eagle Mountain International Church. That's the service I just showed you was at their church, right? He says, Our healing is an accomplished fact. I'm writing you today about a very important subject in each of our lives. Many years ago, I was awakened to a very important revelation. It's God's will for me to live in divine health. That includes perfect health for my body at every age. I'm so grateful to the Lord for this covenant benefit. He is our Redeemer, our Deliverer, our Healer, and Provider. Let's take a look at some very important scriptures concerning our health. Matthew 8, 16 and 17 says, When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, And he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew is quoting Isaiah 53:4, which is a clear reference to Jesus and is listed as a cross-reference to Matthew 8:16-17 in many Bibles. Isaiah 53:4-5 in the Amplified Bible Classic Edition is powerful. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God, as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him. And with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. An important note in Hebrew, griefs is translated sickness, disease, weakness, and calamity of every kind. The word sorrows is translated physical and mental pain. That really says it all. This scripture truly holds the key to our scriptural and physical redemption. Notice it says, surely he hath borne our griefs, sicknesses, and carried our sorrows and pains. Surely means without a doubt, unquestionably, and absolutely. Young's literal translation says it this way. He is despised and left of men, a man of pains and acquainted with sickness, and as one hiding the face from us, he is despised and we esteemed him not. Surely our sicknesses he hath borne, and our pains he hath carried them, and we have esteemed him plagued, smitten of God and afflicted. And he is pierced for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his bruise there is healing to us. Verses 3-5. The Lesser Old Testament says, Lesser Old Testament says, he was despised and shunned by men, a man of pains and acquainted with disease, but only our diseases did he bear himself, and our pains he carried, and through his bruises was healing granted to us. Verses 3-5. Here's the major point of this letter. Healing already belongs to us. Somebody say amen, right? It doesn't matter how sick, crippled, or in what kind of condition a person may be. It doesn't matter how sick, crippled, or in what kind of condition a person may be. From God's standpoint, healing is an accomplished fact. Since Jesus already bore our sickness, disease, and infirmity, there is no reason for us to bear them any longer. Declare this out loud right now. Okay, we're kind of in the business of making declarations, aren't we? Right? So here we go. Say this. Jesus already bore my sickness and carried my pains. From God's standpoint, my healing is an accomplished fact. The work is already done. Now it's my responsibility to take what rightfully belongs to me. According to 1 Peter 2:24, by his stripes I was healed. Symptoms of distress, pains, and sicknesses, you leave me right now. I am healed. I am whole. I walk in perfect health, all because of what Jesus did for me. In Jesus' name, I declare it so. Amen. And then he signs it, standing in victory with you, Pastor George. Hallelujah. I so appreciate ministries like this that build me up, right? They don't talk about, you know, like the devil owns everything. That God may or may not heal you in his divine infinite wisdom. He may just decide to go ahead and let you die. No, somebody says, that's not the God I know. And it really comes down to relationship with God. And that's why watching, you know, videos like this and participating in healing services like this is so important, because you hear testimonies, you hear God's word that builds our faith for healing. Amen? And it's very, very important that our faith is strong and getting stronger in these areas, right? Because the devil would like us to believe we're weak and getting weaker, right? But it's a lie. He's a liar. Amen? Did you know the devil's a liar? I mean, he never even sometimes tells the truth. Some of the things he says might sound true. They might be facts. I had a guy this week that wanted to, talk about the current events of the world and the COVID things, and his faith was rooted in everything is science, right? And I was sharing with him the faith side, and I was like, but hey, guess what? Faith and true science go together. And I was just like, I think some of the things you're saying, sir, based on stuff I've been hearing and in the way, you know, God's word points, or some of that stuff is being spun that way, right? I mean, if you have a government that a lot of them don't believe in the sanctity of life, right? And they think they should run everything, right? And they think that it's okay to be palling around with terrorists, then why would I believe anything they would tell me regarding science and numbers and percentages? Somebody say, get your faith involved. Get your faith in gear, right? I mean, this COVID thing is real, but what did we sing about? There's a greater name. There's a greater name, the name of Jesus, right? So, but it was cool. He was pretty receptive, actually, to the faith side of things, right? Hallelujah. So don't be ashamed of your faith, is what God is saying to us. And don't just brush it off like it doesn't apply to whatever issues in your life. Somebody say, it does apply. It does apply, and it can change things. Amen? Well, I want to look at, right now, Brother Keith Moore's God's Will to Heal. We've been going through 101 things that God said about healing. Amen. And this is how Brother Keith sets it up. He says, how do we know whether it's God's will to heal us or not? It makes little difference what others say about it. What did he say about it? Remember that God is no respecter of persons, Acts 10:34, and he never changes, Malachi 3:6. So what he said to them yesterday, he is saying to you today. God's word is speaking to me. These statements are taken directly from the Bible with little or no variation. The verbs and construction have been changed to apply to you personally and to sum up the thoughts in some instances. Also, many of these statements are prefaced by phrases like, if you walk in my commandments, if you believe, obey, etc. So what did God say? And in order for us to read it together, I've actually put them on the screen today. All right, so we're on number 66, and we're going to go through 80. So here we go. Ready? Begin. I heal all those who have need of healing. Luke 9:11. I like that. 911. Somebody say, call Jesus first. Right? He heals all who have need of healing. Amen? Here we go. I am not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Luke 9:56. Behold, I give you authority over all the enemy's power, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10:19. Sickness is satanic bondage, and you ought to be loosed today. Luke 13:16 and 2 Corinthians 6:2. It's amazing how many people think, you know, somehow sickness can be a blessing of God. Well, here we go. No, blessing is a satanic thing. God doesn't put things on people to kill them and make them sick, right? In me is life. John 1:4. I am the bread of life. I give you life. John 6:33 and 35. All I'm really hearing is myself, guys. I need... I need some backup here. Pastor George really coached me because they were doing this last week, and he really got on the people. I want to hear your voices. Because it's important that we're saying these things, right? So let's say this. I am the bread of life. I give you life. John 6, 33 and 35. The words I speak unto you are spirit and life. John 6, 63. I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. John 10, 10. I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, 25. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. John 14, 14. Faith in my name makes you strong and gives you perfect soundness. Acts 3, 16. Glory to God. I stretch forth my hand to heal. Acts 4, 30. I, Jesus Christ, make you whole. Acts 9, 34. I do good and heal all that are oppressed of the devil. Acts 10, 38. So there you go. Sickness is devilish oppression on people, right? And we have authority. It's one good thing to remember when you're praying for others is I don't have authority over the guy I'm praying for. But I do have authority over the disease that's trying to kill him or her, right? So we take authority over the disease. And that's one reason why it may seem like sometimes, oh man, I guess it didn't work. We prayed and so-and-so died. Well, so-and-so has a part in the process. Job may just not have been receiving health that day. Job might have just been tired of fighting. I remember, you know, I'm going to be doing a memorial, like a graveside service on a couple Saturdays from now for a second cousin of mine who passed away, went home to be with the Lord. And his brother and I and my uncle were at his bedside, and he's just, you know, cancer is eating him up, right? I mean, he's going on his way over, right? He's born again. Believer, right? And he was so weak, he couldn't even, in the natural, he couldn't speak with us. And we could tell he was hearing what we were saying, and I just got there, and I said, you know, my cousin, his name's Les. I said, Les, let's just believe God, and let's just pray together. And I said, Les, how about if we read Psalm 91? And boy, he liked that, you know? So we started reading Psalm 91, and I talked to the cancer. I didn't talk to Les. I reminded cancer that cancer does not have the final word, that Jesus' name is above the name of cancer, that cancer is defeated. But as we were reading Psalm 91 and praying and believing God, when we got to the part about talking about angels, the angel of the Lord and this type of thing. Man, I'll tell you what. In my spirit, and we're in his living room, right? And there's like the walls and there's a TV in the corner. In my spirit, I saw a door appear above the television. And man, I just got goosebumps while we were praying. And I just stopped. And I said, Les, you know what? We love you. We love you. God, we got a big God, a strong God. But if you see a door, like I'm seeing right now, and you just choose to go ahead and walk through the door, we'll see you when we get home, Les. But if that door opens and you want to go ahead and go through it, just say hi. We started naming people. We're like talking about Grandpa and how much we love Les and just the great things about, you know, we had a moment to just say, you know what? I just had a sense of Les isn't going to be hanging around with us much longer. If he sees into glory, who would, right? But I just had this sense of, man, Les is going to be exiting the building, right? And like within 24 hours, I got the text that Les had gone on home to be with the Lord. Amazing. But I was like, Les, I see a door. I told him. I was like, Les, we're praying right now, but I see a door right there. And if you see the door and you want to go on home to be with God, we will be there to celebrate with you. We'll see you when we get home. We all three of us, we made a fresh commitment that we will be there. Wow. Hallelujah. That's not a defeat. That's just saying we have authority over cancer, but if Les would rather go home, come on, right? There's no failure there. Praise God. Hallelujah. My power causes diseases to depart from you. Acts 19:12. Well, in that instance, Les chose to depart. You know, he just like, I'm out of here, man. Glory to God forevermore. Where are we at in this? Oh, that's the last one for today. Amen. Well, why don't y'all stand up on your feet right now? And we're gonna make this statement of faith together as we close for today. Hallelujah. Praise God. But you know what? If you're here right now and you're believing God for some kind of a healing in your body, it doesn't matter how small it seems or how long it's been there. Just something the doctor said, you're just gonna have to live with this. Just don't ever accept that. Amen. Praise God for doctors. But they don't have the final word, right? Just lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive my healing today. I receive healing in my eyes, in my ears, in my stomach, in my joints, and my blood. I receive healing, the healing power of God to just flow through me right now. Hallelujah. I just choose to jump in the river till it's over my head. Receive my healing today. Let's make this statement of faith. Just say, Jesus Christ is Lord over me, spirit, soul, and body. Sickness, I resist you. In the name of Jesus, I enforce the will of God on you today. Leave my presence now. I believe I receive my healing now. I am well now in Jesus' name. I forgive and receive my forgiveness in Jesus' name. Now just praise the Lord today. Just, Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We thank you and we praise you that you're our healer. We thank you for the blood that covers us and cleanses us and heals us, sets us free and separates us from the curse and all of its effects in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say, the blood of Jesus separates me from the curse. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Somebody say amen.